Across this great country and around the world, this is Coast to Coast AM. My name is Rob Simone, filling in for George Norrie. And I hope all of you are having a wonderful holiday season. And tonight's show is perfectly situated for this time of year. And as we get ready to flip the calendar over, thoughts turn to where we've been and where we're going. And our first guest can speak to that directly. Linda Sherman has been practicing astrology for over 37 years, and her predictions have been proven correct. Last year, she came on the show and talked about a devastating earthquake that would ruin Japan's economy. She talked about the overthrow of Mubarak and Gaddafi in Libya, and she was right. And she's going to come up in just a few moments and talk about what's going to happen in 2012. And we're going to get also into sort of a world political look, economy, and even the 2012 enigma, what she sees in the stars. And coming up after that, very special show, Jan Ervin. We're going to talk about the holy mushroom, evidence of mushrooms in Judeo-Christianity, and astrotheology and shamanism. We're going to talk about Christianity's pagan roots. We're going to dissect Christmas and Santa, and you'll be surprised at some of these traditions and where they come from. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back. Welcome back to Coast AM. In addition to practicing astrology for over 37 years, Linda Sherman has served on the international clientele. She has been hired by corporations, financial service companies, private individuals, for her ability to look into the creation of a corporation and almost treat it like an individual, because these corporations have birth dates too. She is the online publisher for the Soothsayer newsletter, and she is a longtime member of the National Council of Geocosmic Research, a worldwide astrology organization. Well, let's get her on here. Linda, welcome to Coast AM.
Well, thank you, Rob. It's a pleasure to be on again.
Yeah, well, tell us what happened last time you were on. You made some very startlingly accurate predictions.
Well, one of the predictions that I made when I was on before is that 2011 would be the beginning of the second American Revolution, so that you were going to see people coming out of their coma and getting angry at their fates and no longer accepting them, and that there would be some organized protest movement. And of course, we have the Occupy Wall Street movement, which I feel over the next several years will gain strength and cohesion and possibly form a third political party, which may displace even one of the present two parties, which in many ways has sold out both
the
country.
Wow. The Occupy Party?
Illusion.
Wow. Yeah, the Occupy Party, huh?
Yes. The Occupy, it'll probably have another name, but the Occupy Wall Street movement started in 2011, and this was one of my predictions. I predicted that in my newsletter online in February that Japan would be hit by a devastating earthquake and tsunami and possibly threaten almost to destroy their economy. At the time, I didn't know about the Fukushima nuclear plants being located so close to the shore. And of course, we all know what happened in March. These are a couple of the things. I think that this year first of all, a lot of people are very disturbed about the, of course, December 21st, 2012, end of the Mayan long count.
Yeah, that's happening. The economy's in flux. We're still in this recession. And yet, Time magazine even named the Occupy movement, the protester, as person of the year.
Yes,
so there
the
is
Occupy.
Something. Yeah, there is something to this idea that it is a revolution. And on one hand, I think we should be thankful that people are at least standing up in some way, shape, or form. We need more people, really, to seize control of this democracy. But let's get into this, because 2012 is just coming up over the horizon. And I first give people a little bit of an idea of how you do it, because there's something called mundane astrology, which is anything but mundane. But give us a little insight on how this works.
Exactly, Rob. mundane astrology is really doing an analysis of the charts of nations and giant collectives, and even looking at the direction that humanity will take in a period of time. These are the big issues that we tackle as astrologers, looking at the planets and their configurations out there and how they influence the fate of nations and economies, the environment. Right now, in 2012, I foresee major, major tectonic events, earthquakes. I have been predicting those environmental disasters. On the show I talked about and on my newsletter in 2010, a major, major series of environmental disasters. And I talked about the June 2010, what I called the Chernobyl eclipse, because the last time we had an eclipse to Pluto was in 1986 when we had this terrible Chernobyl disaster. And so we had the BP oil disaster. And then after that, we had the earthquake in Japan, and we have the Fukushima nuclear plant, which is even worse than the Chernobyl disaster. We've got lying ahead of us tectonic events of, I think, a great degree of significance. The areas are Mexico, California, and the northwest coast of the USA, and I'm particularly concerned, by the way, about California. Again, Japan is not finished. Alaska, Chile, Iceland, and even Italy, all of these charts are being activated, and the most intense period is between April and June of 2012, in which these events, there are a number of serious, the Pluto-Uranus square is exact, and there are serious, serious eclipses and lunations that are activating Neptune, and there are a whole range of things that I won't go into the technical reasons, but especially the solar eclipse of May 20th. Is activating these things. So I'm really, really concerned. I've been trying to get my friends and clients who live in the San Francisco area to think of moving further inland.
San Francisco is due for a bigger earthquake. You think it'll be Southern California or maybe Northern?
I think it's more Northern California, but it's hard to tell. The seismologists themselves cannot tell where an epicenter of an earthquake is going to be. But historically, when I look at the charts of the earthquakes of 1906 and 1989, in which Neptune and Uranus were tied up in the 7 to 9 degrees of Capricorn, Pluto is reaching that degree and is squaring Uranus at 8-9 Aries in June, exactly. And there's a lunar eclipse on the ascendant of the USA in June as well.
So, and what does that mean?
Doesn't bode well for something going on here. We've had these previous earthquakes in Chile and Haiti, and and the Icelandic volcanoes that have erupted twice. We've had these things outside the United States that I'm very, very concerned about, that San Francisco area.
Mm-hmm. Well, Haiti experienced an awful earthquake a while back. Did you see that when you were looking through the sort of global forecast?
No, I predicted that we would have a series of deadly earthquakes in that time period. I did not predict it would be Haiti.
Okay.
Specifically.
Well, this is, this is foreboding news. What about the economy? Where do you see that shifting? Because I think that's what a lot of people are really concerned about. Is it going to get worse?
Well, first of all, we have to realize the real facts. There's cognitive dissonance out there that would like us to believe otherwise and that we're going to recover. And this is just a recession as opposed to what it really is, which is a Great Depression. This is going to go on for many years, and it's about changing our society, our consciousness, our systems, our institutions. We have enormous power in the hands of banksters. The Federal Reserve forked out over $12 trillion to the banks between 2008 and 2009. It's unbelievable, and just kind of under the table. We have a system, which this is what ignited the Occupy Wall Street, and they talk about where the 99% is, that money has been pouring into the pockets of the top of the level, what I call banksters, because most of their wealth is not about lending and you know, a healthy economy, lending money to small businesses and to homeowners. It's about trading in the derivatives market, which are puts and calls, which are using money to place bets on stocks, commodities, currencies. And we've had absolute disaster with crashes in derivatives. You can literally just lose everything. Today's derivative market, according to the Bank of International Settlements, is over $700 trillion. And those are the derivative trades that they know about, not including what we call the over-the-counter derivatives market. And this recently, MF Global crashed. And in my October newsletter, I predicted that toward the end of the month, beginning of November, there would be another series of really terrible financial scandals. And that's when MF Global collapsed. And former governor of New Jersey and Senator Corzine, former head of Goldman Sachs, was the head of MF Global. And he recently appeared in front of Congress. They said, where did the $1.2 billion that was in your customers' accounts go? Everything is going. He says, I don't know.
Yeah, typical, right?
And we have this. We have Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. The CEOs, executives are all called in now and possibly being indicted. That happened around that same time. So our system is absolutely corrupt. Most of the money is not going back into an economy to help an economy grow and provide jobs for people. Currently, the real unemployment figure in this country is around 22%. And according to government statistics published recently, half of the population of this country is at or below the poverty line.
Well, where do you see unemployment going? You see it rising dramatically or about holding even?
I really, not in reality. I mean, they may give you some statistics that it's not as bad as it was because a lot of people's unemployment has expired and they've almost abandoned the job search. So they do not include that in these statistics. They only include people who are applying for unemployment. And all of these kids that are graduating from college with $100,000 loans to pay off are not able to get jobs. So, no, I think the economy is going to get much, much worse. We're not going to see ourselves coming out until around 2015. And briefly, you see, there are cycles within great cycles. There are smaller cycles. And we may see some improvement at 2015, 2016. But again, 2017 through 2020 may see the bottom of this depression and may actually witness the end of the Federal Reserve as we know it. So there's going to be big collapses, more banking collapses, more institutions. And with Pluto in Capricorn, the guys in charge are going to fight tooth and nail to preserve themselves. So my feeling is that the Occupy Wall Street, which, by the way, the mainstream media is trying to minimize and trying to, they have people on that say the occupiers are just hippies, you know, old hippies or what, or drunks off the street or whatever. This movement is filled with highly educated, informed, committed core of people who know what they're talking about and know why they're there.
Right. But those aren't the ones necessarily that get the camera put on them.
Every protest movement. And by the way, the Occupy movement has gone all over the world.
Yeah.
To Rome. England.
Well, because of social networking, social media, I mean, these things are just being connected like spider webs. It's extraordinary how these things can be set up.
Oh, absolutely, Rob. And it's interesting because it started in Tunisia and Egypt and then got on over here. The Egyptians who overthrew Mubarak, I mean, these young people used electronic media to connect with each other. And something that's very, very interesting, I find as an astrologer, because I think by the time we get into the 2020s, we're going to have our democracy back, and we're going to understand what it really means to have a democracy. And what is happening now are the precursors to that, taking our democracy back and completely reforming our society for, by, and for the people, which is what was promised by Thomas Jefferson and our forebears.
Yeah.
I believe that eventually has a good chance of being the end result. But what's unique about this is there isn't a singular charismatic leader at the head of this, as there wasn't in Egypt. It was group-oriented. This is a much more dramatic thing that has to do with groups of people meeting, debating, discussing, and then forming their views. One of the big things that the Occupy movement is taking up is an amendment to the Constitution taking all private money out of all political campaigns.
Wow.
And I say hallelujah to that.
Can you imagine?
They're all bought and sold on both sides of the aisle.
Well, you know, we need reform. We need campaign finance reform. We need a lot of reform. And you're right. I mean, this whole thing started in the Middle East with Tunisia, with a guy whose fruit stand was taken away from him.
You're absolutely right.
And he was so upset because he couldn't make a living. He set himself on fire. And that's what started this whole thing, this whole domino effect. And it's kind of a triumph of the human spirit to suggest that, you know, a strong will can overcome, you know, almost any obstacle, right?
Absolutely. And Rob, I'm so glad that you brought up this man who set himself on fire out of desperation, because, you know, we don't have to set ourselves on fire. But one of the things we need to remember during these very difficult and dark times is that every single one of us counts, and that we can do a lot more than frequently we think we can do. We get overwhelmed in our lives thinking, well, the plutocracy, as I'm fond of calling it, being an astrologer named after Pluto, these people in power who are crushing everybody else so they can narcissistically and selfishly hold on to all of their excesses. And they don't care what they do to anybody else. They have no notion of the greater good. But there are so many people out there. Many of them, by the way, listen to this show, because so many people have contacted me after I've been on.
Yeah.
And the hearts and souls are so committed to the greater good. And they say, what can I do?
Yeah.
And I say to people, relocalize. Take your money out of the big banks that the banksters are running and putting it into small, local, solvent credit unions and banks. Subsidize, get together as a community. Grow your food locally and organically. And that leads me, by the way, into, as I said, the crises that we're going to face that lie ahead. And I do want to make one last. I do not think the economy is going to get better. I also think commodities are going to go down.
Okay, I wanted to ask you about that. Tell me about
oil,
because this is something that affects people, you know, on a daily basis. Do you see any large fluctuations or anything significant?
Yes. Well, of course, there's always fluctuations. But my take is that commodities will go down in 2012, except for possibly, right now, gold and silver are in a short-term bear market. They're selling off way off. Every day you turn it on, it's sold off another 54 points or whatever. Because gold and silver rose, especially gold, and I have been a strong recommender of gold because of the fluctuations, the instabilities all over the world connected with currencies. Already Japan and China have decided to trade in their own currencies. They made this decision the other day. The dollar as the global currency will lose its status. It temporarily strengthened, and people got out of things. They went into cash. They went into the dollar because of the collapse of so many of the European nations. Europe's collapse, the European banks, and that collapse isn't over, and they're not going to be able to fix it, by the way. So people, you hear on the news, oh, everything's going to get better because Europe is fixing their problems. Well, they're not. And the European Union may not stay a union, and the euro dollar may not stay there either.
Yeah, they're having their own problems. I mean, look at
Greece.
They're
having their own problems. Yeah. And so people in a knee-jerk way got back into, the dollar sold a lot of their gold and silver positions and got into the dollar, wanting to be in a cash position.
Yep. And well, hold it right there, because we're just coming up on the break here. And when we get back, I want to talk to you more about this. And of course, 2012. We're talking with Linda Sherman. Her website is hooked up right now at coasttocoastam.com. My name is Rob Simone. Stay tuned. We're coming right back. Yes, you are back in Coast to Coast AM. And I'm filling in on the 5th of January as well. I'll be talking with Gerald Salente, also about future trends. He is director of the Trends Research Institute. He's been featured on Oprah, CNN, the O'Reilly Report, and many other programs. And he is uncanny at his ability to discuss trends. And I think that will be a really amazing show for the beginning of the year. And also filling in on the 27th, guest to be determined. Now, if you're having trouble jumping around all these different shows, you should go and get a subscription to Coast Insider. Why? Because you can download all these shows. You can go back and get any show from the past that's up there. You can listen to it while you drive, which is great for here in Los Angeles, because you're always sitting in the car. And while I love listening to Journey songs and old Led Zeppelin tunes, I've heard them so many times, I thought to myself, why don't I put this time to good use? So check it out. It's Coast Insider. For less than $30, you can enjoy all the shows anytime you want for 6 months. It will really make a big difference. We're talking with Linda Sherman, and we're going to get into this 2012 phenomenon right after this. Welcome back. We're talking with Linda Sherman. Her website, by the way, is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. That's where you can also get more information about becoming a Coast Insider and having access to all of these shows at your fingertips. And Linda, before the break, we were, of course, talking about commodities and gold and oil, things like that. Now, did you see anything specifically for oil where it would be like a game changer, or do you just see more of the normal fluctuations?
Well, I think there it always fluctuates. Commodities always fluctuate, and there will be ups and downs. But I think overall, the price of oil will be going down in next year. One of the things I want to point out is I wrote a book called What Next? A Survival Guide to the 21st Century, in which many of these predictions, many of which have already occurred, it was published in June of 2007, have absolutely occurred that were in the book at that time. And there are more predictions ahead in that book.
Yeah.
Now, the price of commodities, as I said, I think oil, grains, a lot of things like this are going to be going down for a while. The exception ultimately is I advise people to hold on to their gold and silver, because this is, in a sense, especially possibly going to be coming back in the fall of the year, between the period between October and December of 2012. I see an upswing in the metals. And I'm not talking about the stocks, which are very, very risky to be in, the mining stocks.
Okay.
But other commodities in general, I think, are going to take a downturn, and they're going to affect these nations that are commodities economies, the Sudan, Somalia, Nigeria, China, Canada, Brazil, are all being affected here. Canada, as you know, is a strong commodities economy. So I wanted to say that the economy really does not look favorable for most people next year. I think the realities are going to be setting in, and these temporary highs in the stock market will probably be a thing of the past.
Well, what about China? They certainly are a force. And is there any significant change in China's power or anything that has to do with the economy that might affect Americans?
Yes. Now, it's interesting about China, because the one thing that China really has over us is they don't have debt. And they also have invested in a lot of commodities around the world. What is not well understood, their chart is getting hit heavily in 2012, so heavily that I am predicting in the spring of 2012 something similar to the Tiananmen Square protest. China's going to get into the protest movement as well. because there is a return of Jupiter that was in Gemini in 1989, and the Uranus-Pluto is hitting their sun very, very heavily. Now, what a lot of people don't is as strong as they are economically at this present time, because they're not saddled with debt and they made a lot of investments around the world, is we don't realize the environmental catastrophes that have been visited upon this nation. Because of global warming, climate change, the Himalayan glaciers have melted, which have supplied water to the Yellow and Yangtze rivers for thousands of years. They're drying up, and they're so filled with factory pollution, and the air is so filled with air pollution because there are no environmental laws in China, and the outsourcing of manufacturing there for people who will work for 36 cents an hour in very bad contaminated conditions are making people sick. The population is getting more and more unhealthy, and because of this. So China has, which leads me to the next prediction, Neptune is going into Pisces in February of 2012 and will be there through March of 2025. And I am predicting a worldwide water crisis, that they're going, as the oceans rise, salt water is encroaching, and fresh water is drying up. All the fresh water places throughout the world are decreasing in volume. China has made a deal with the Canadians, with Lake Huron and one of the Great Lakes, to export to them thousands and thousands of gallons of water, fresh water. And we have to realize that the United States, North America, and Canada has the Great Lakes and the Finger Lakes. We have the largest supply of fresh inland water in the world. And we can't allow it to be threatened by fracking for gas or digging for oil or any of these things that are going on.
They were left over from the last ice age.
Yes, they were. Yeah. And they're precious, precious commodities, because we're going to enter a crisis. Many places aren't going to they're going to become uninhabitable. Island nations will be underwater, suffering catastrophes. And the clean water is what I'm talking about. Drinking water, potable water, is becoming more and more scarce. And we're really, this is something. Now, I also quickly want to say something that I think is very important that relates to all of this, because the fossil fuel economy, which is behind, I know some people do not believe this, but the science to me behind it is almost irrefutable. We have to change over to some other form of energy, and this is where I have some very good news, is that it's happening.
Oh, great.
And I made a prediction about this, that under the Uranus-Pluto square, which is in many ways catastrophic to economies and to tectonic events, the last time Uranus squared Pluto was 1933, the Germans split the atom. And what is happening now is that something like this is going on. There's America's National Ignition Facility is lining up and cooperating with a company in the United Kingdom called Rutherford Appleton Laboratory, and they have set up a system of lasers. I believe here I have the facts here. It's like 192 lasers are focused and fire a 500 kilowatt of flash at a drop of hydrogen atoms, just 1 millimeter across, and they have created hydrogen fusion. They have released more energy than we need to power the world. And this is not just experimental anymore. This has been done over and over again. And now they're working on setting up infrastructures of these lasers shooting particles at hydrogen pellets to be the new electricity for the whole world. And it has almost no downside.
Well, we have a lot of hydrogen, and Iceland
is plentiful. Yeah. And this is one of the many solutions. I think by the time we get into the 2020s, we're going to have an entirely new infrastructure, and we will be mostly off of all fossil fuels.
Well, isn't Iceland sort of shifting their economy to be the main producer of hydrogen?
Yes, you're absolutely right. Iceland is on board with this, very much so, yes. Well, yeah. But Iceland is already independent. They sit on they're sitting on one long volcano there.
Yeah.
Of volcanoes. So they have geothermal
yep.
is their primary, solar and geothermal. Yep. So they're almost totally independent.
Well, Sweden is the same way. A friend of mine who lives there says that, you know, his house is heated by geothermal, and it doesn't take much, just a few degrees difference in temperature. And most of the houses are set up that way. They pay nothing for heat, basically.
You know, I have a chapter in my book that is written by a solar architect who explains that with different types of construction for our buildings and our houses, called passive solar, a house within a house, and south-facing windows, solar collecting walls, landscaping, that we now have the technology to build houses that keep a constant 57 to 60 degrees inside year-round. We need really no central heat or anything. This is already being done. These are going up where you said Sweden, Norway, Denmark,
Germany,
Finland.
Absolutely.
They're going yep. up in Canada and in Germany, all of these places. And there's a special type of composite material that looks like cement that is so well insulated. If you build a house with that, you will not need central heat. We have constructed buildings and houses like there's no tomorrow, wastefully.
Oh, yeah. Well,
absolutely wastefully. If we just change our architecture and our building practices, we can save probably at least half of the fuel, the oil and the gas that we need to use.
It's really true. We lead the world in so many things, but when it comes to this different kind of thinking, there's so many other countries. Like when I lived in Nepal, there was no real electricity. They didn't have water heaters. What they did was they painted their water pipes black. They ran them up to the roof. They put them in a little window that was also painted black. And you could take a hot shower at 11 a.m. with absolutely no water here, just using
black is a solar collector.
It's basically just warmed up by the sun. And this is Nepal, and every house, every hotel had that same system. They didn't pay a dime for it. So there's all kinds of simple things that just elude the American psyche. Why is that, Linda?
So right, Rob. I so agree with what you're saying.
What is it? What is it about our collective consciousness that makes us so resistant to some of these changes that are readily available? What is that?
I honestly think that there's been a betrayal on so many different levels for the past 30 or 40 years in this country, a betrayal of the corporate world, of the people, of the government that was supposed to be of the people. And most of all, this is why I love this show, Coast to Coast, because you hear people get on and give their opinions and stand in their truths on this show, because most of the television and the mainstream corporate-owned media is just everything is taken off.
It's a sounding chamber. It's a repeating, echoing sounding chamber.
It's a brainwashing institution, and people have been dumbed down and brainwashed, and they wake up one day and they realize they're going to lose their house. They realize they've lost their credit. They realize that they've been laid off from their job. And they saw it happen to their neighbors, but they didn't pay that much attention. And now that it's happened to them, they say, my God, what happened to me?
Yeah.
It's just there has been a composite of decisions made by people in positions of power on various levels that have been very much a betrayal. And I'm a great believer in the press. I'm a great believer in media and journalism and truth reporting. And this has been betrayed in the commercial.
Oh, I agree. Well, let's get into this other fascinating sort of component. We're coming into 2012, and a lot of people say, wow, I can't believe it's finally here. Tell me about your take on the ending of the grand cycle of the Mayan calendar. How does that factor into some of your predictions? And will we see some significant events, either metaphysically or earthquakes or tectonic or otherwise?
Well, I do believe that it is going to be Not necessarily because it's the end of the Mayan long count, but because of the astrological patterns, the planetary patterns, it's going to be a really tough year for many, many people in the economy. But these tectonic events are, as I talked about earlier, I think are very, very significant. Look what happened to Japan recently. I mean, it's really... these are very, very serious, and it's interesting because many of these tectonic events probably will take place in the area where the Mayans originally had their empire, like Mexico, Guatemala, in Central and South America, where the Mayans populated very heavily. I think we need to see that their long count, their big age started, they say, on August 11, 3114 B.C., and that the end of it, it is December 21st of 2012, which is what we talk about. Now, roughly that is equivalent to when the earliest civilizations started to develop. They started to change from just tribal societies into buildings and pyramids and the Babylonians, the Egyptians, the very earliest ancient civilizations as we know it. We call them the foundation for the civilization that we have now. So that's when they sort of began. And so this is a significant time. It's interesting that the rebellions that have developed recently started in the Middle East, in Tunisia and Egypt, Libya, Syria, all these nations where we call the cradle of civilization began. And I find that very significant. I think that my interpretation, everybody has an interpretation of this, and my interpretation is we are at the end of a great grand cycle, but there is a new manifestation of human life coming ahead. And the old, it doesn't die easily. It doesn't die painlessly.
Are we seeing the emergence of perhaps a new global consciousness?
Yes, I think we've got to see the difference between now and, say, the 2020s, when I think it's going to be more evident. A lot of people are just going to be interested in survival. On, you know, do I get through day to day? You know, am I going to survive this? There's going to be a lot of rebellion, a lot of discontent. I'm concerned because our nation is armed to the hilt. One of the most prosperous businesses in this nation is guns. And people are armed and they're going to get scared. There's going to be some real downside to this, which always has been during times like this. My feeling is there are also going to be pockets of people who relocalize, get together, hold hands, come up with ideas and solutions to the problems. And those are the people that will be what I call the gestation of the new consciousness of a human race that can live in concert with the earth and in cooperation with each other, a spiritually and psychologically elevated species.
Extraordinary. Well, this is something to look forward to, and I'm sure we'll all get through it if we hold on to each other. And your newsletter, Soothsayer, where can people go to get more information about that and your work?
Yes, you just go into the net. It's SOOTHESAYER.com. And it's open to everybody. I have a lot of people email me, will you put me on your mailing list? It's right there, free to the public. A new newsletter goes up on my website at that address at the first of every month. So January 1st, I will have a whole list of my predictions for this year. And also, you can buy my book, What Next, on the site, or you can buy it on Google Books now or Amazon.com.
Fantastic. Linda, thank you so much for coming on and sharing some of your work and predictions for the coming year, 2012.
Well, thank you, Rob. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely my pleasure. And there's a lot of food for thought there. And I have to say, I think she is right on the money about quite a bit of the unrest that's happening. I mean, what did Gore Vidal call this country? United States of Amnesia? Well, I think it's time that we all woke up instead of remembering who we are, what we are, and what we can do, and everything else. And I'm sure that'll make a big difference. Well, coming up after the break. We're to bring on our next guest, Jan Irvin. We're going to talk about the Gnostic texts. He is a researcher, someone who has written several books. One of them is called The Holy Mushroom, Evidence of Mushrooms in Judeo-Christianity. And wait till you hear what we have to say about the Garden of Eden and so much more that you, if you look at a certain way, you can't help but to think there was some kind of symbolism that may have gotten lost over the years. We're also going to talk about astrotheology and shamanism, all that coming up right after the break. This is Coast to Coast AM. Stay tuned.